You know you must be stupid when Spunkmeyer's got to explain stuff to you, Vasquez said. Their gunfire had driven the bugs away for the moment. The unit regrouped around Lieutenant Paulson and Sergeant Apone. Fix that scanner, Hicks, Apone ordered. They all heard it through comms, and Dietrich watched Hicks march over and pick up the faulty sensor. How he was supposed to get it working out here with no tools and unable to take off his exosuit, she had no idea. But he started by just banging the thing against his thigh a couple of times. Hicks let his plasma rifle hang by its strap, smacked the sensor against the palm of his hand, then pressed a button on the thing's underside while the rest of the unit watched the plateau for more bugs. Dietrich heard Hicks sigh over comms. Even in the shifting gray dust of the atmostorm, she saw the sensor light up. Hicks turned to hand it back to Wurzbowski just as Zeller started shouting again. The sensor in Hicks's hand lit up red.
Incoming!
Zeller shouted. Dietrich and Hudson backed up side by side, and she heard him swear as he tripped and fell. Shapes sailed overhead, and she stitched the storm with plasma fire, forcing the bugs to break off. She dropped to one knee to help Hudson, who scrambled to get up in spite of the awkward weight of the exosuit. You all right? Hudson gave a sick sort of laugh.
I'm better than these assholes.
Confused, she took her eyes off the sky and turned to see what the hell he was talking about. They had known the two small research teams sent here by the company had died, so it shouldn't have come as a shock to her. But when she saw the withered corpses, the bare, grit-scoured bones, the dried skin stretched tight across a face beneath the headpiece of a shattered exosuit, she froze. This is no way to die, Dietrich thought.
Get up, Stenbeck shouted. Incoming, damn it, get on your feet!
Dietrich and Hudson rose in the same moment, both of them staring as Stenbeck raced toward them. He lifted his plasma rifle and fired above them, but Dietrich's focus stayed on the pair of bugs slicing through the dust storm, gliding down behind Stenbeck. By the time she raised her plasma rifle, they were too low for her to take the shot without hitting Stenbeck.
Down, Hudson said, taking aim. Stenny, hit the dirt!
Even from 30 feet away, through the dust, through the goggles of his exosuit, Stenbeck's moment of epiphany showed in his eyes. He dove to the rocky ground, rolled, propped himself onto his elbows too late. The things were almost on him. Dietrich and Hudson started to fire. A figure came out of nowhere, emerging from the dust to the east. Tall and thin, wrapped in an exosuit, weapon at the ready. Only when she started shouting and cursing did Dietrich recognize Private Malinka's voice. On the range, Malinka had no peer. 19 years old, but she could shoot the whiskers off a cat from 100 yards. But Malinka had never seen real combat before today. The girl's first two shots missed. Stenbeck had fallen on his own weapon and struggled to bring it round, even as the first of the bugs landed on him. One of its wings sliced the exosuit open like it was made of cobweb. Dietrich opened fire again, shouting Stenbeck's name. She got one syllable into it when Malinka's third shot hit one of the bugs. The creature exploded in a rolling ball of flame that hit the second one, the one on Stenbeck. And then that bug exploded as well. The blast blew Malinka off her feet, and she tumbled into the rising dust and smoke, lost from view in the storm. For a few seconds, Dietrich could only blink and stare at blossoming clouds of fire as the wind carried them away, painting the darkness red and orange and blue.
Oh, man, what the hell was that? Hudson whined. Steady, man! Steady!
Hudson started toward the burning air, barely seeming to notice the way gusts would ignite above them, a chain reaction that seemed to threaten the possibility of the whole sky lighting on fire. Dietrich grabbed Hudson.
Get your shit together. Nothing you can do for him now. Don't you have eyes?
Hudson stared at her, goggle to goggle. She had denied it to herself, but in her heart she knew what had ended his friendship with Stenbeck. Knew that Hudson wanted her for himself, even if he'd never say it. Stenbeck had known it, too, and it had complicated things. The friendship between the two men had been half the reason she had ended it with Stenbeck. They needed each other more than she needed the familiar comfort of Stenbeck in her bed. For her sake, she was glad she'd had too much to drink and hooked up with Stenbeck last night. One last memory. For Hudson's sake, she wished none of it had ever happened. Now she had to watch Hudson swivel his head around to stare at the slowly extinguishing fireball and the charred, blackened bones it illuminated, all that remained of Stenbeck.
"Oh, man," Hudson said. "This is bullshit."
Thunder crashed across the sky. They turned to see a fresh fireball streaming toward the ground. Pieces of the bug whipped past them, hitting the dirt like shrapnel. Dietrich glanced around, saw nobody, and knew the only way home was to kill their way out.
"Do your job, Hudson," she said. "Light 'em up."
He snapped his head up, then nodded. Killing bugs was just about the only thing he'd ever been really good at. Back they moved toward the center of the plateau. Bugs whipped overhead like flags unfurling. Dietrich took one out with a burst from her plasma rifle, staggered by the blast as it exploded. Hudson shot two.
"Damn it, Lieutenant," Hicks growled on the comlink. "What the hell are these things?"
Before Paulson could reply, a chorus of voices filled Dietrich's head. Above them all, she could hear Zeller and Wurzbowski shouting about the next wave of attacks coming from the cliffs to the northwest. Even as she and Hudson turned in that direction, a gust of wind cleared some of the dust off the plateau, and Dietrich spotted the rest of the unit closing ranks. Malenka limped as she hurried to join them, injured but alive.
"Hand to hand," Lieutenant Paulson barked. "If they come in close, you can't shoot 'em. You have to take 'em hand to hand."
Ice slid through Dietrich's veins. She thought of the bodies of those scientists, withered skin tight against their skulls. What the hell was Paulson playing at? Thinking they could kill all of these things with just the combat knives sheathed at their hips? She drew her blade, but confusion hissed at the back of her brain. They didn't even know how many of the bugs there were. Trying to kill them hand to hand was suicide. But she saw Frost drawing his own knife and realized it was the two of them now. The others would keep firing, but if the aliens got too close, it would be up to her and Frost to protect them.
"This is it, then," she thought.
Dietrich only hoped they wouldn't leave her corpse behind on Clytemnestra, that she wouldn't end up a lonely ghost wandering this rock forever. She glanced at Stenbeck's charred remains and prayed his spirit had gone elsewhere, that if any of them had souls, they would end up in a better place than this. Gunfire tore through the dust again. A rising crescendo of plasma rifle fire traced its way through the darkness in all directions. Crow and Spunkmeyer had begun to roar, and now Vasquez and Hudson and Wurzbowski joined in. Zeller and Malenka, too. The black kite sliced through the storm, descending. Lieutenant Paulson waited, following them with her weapon, and when she opened fire, one of the bugs exploded in a fireball that struck another and another, destroying four of the deadly kites and turning them into a chain reaction conflagration that swept into the whirl of the storm until the whole sky became a churning tornado of grit and debris and blazing embers. To Dietrich, it looked like they were in hell. The gunfire continued. Each new kill fueled the inferno overhead, and she felt its heat baking her inside her exosuit. She glanced southward, tracking movement in her peripheral vision, and saw a kite slicing low over the ground, headed right for Malenka and Zeller. She acted without processing the risk. Instinct and training kicking in, she ran half a dozen steps in her bulky exosuit and put herself between the bug and her people. It kept low to the ground until it was within a couple of yards, then it cut upward right for her face. Dietrich twisted sideways, shot a kick at the center of the thing's mass. Its unfurled body began to collapse, and she saw in that moment what was about to happen, the way its razor-thin wings would tear right through her suit. She drew her leg back, spun away, sliced the knife down the back of its wing as its momentum carried it past her. The blade scratched that black glass wing, but did not cut. She froze. Blades wouldn't work.
"Lieutenant!" she shouted, turning to scan for Paulson, ready to run to her. They had to retreat, had to get off this godforsaken rock.
She didn't see the bug come sailing along the southern edge of the plateau until Zeller started shouting that it was too close, that someone had to kill it. Dietrich turned. Zeller was right. If he'd shot it, the explosion would have torched him and Malenka both. Even knowing the blade would do nothing, Dietrich started toward them, wouldn't leave them to die. Zeller managed to get his blade out. He fought the thing, stabbing at it, even punctured one of the thing's shielded eyes. But its wings kept slicing at him, tearing his suit to ribbons, and in seconds Zeller was on his knees.
"I can't," he said on the comm link, for all of them to hear. "My eyes. I think my eyes are bleeding."
Dietrich halted her approach. Even if the bug didn't kill Zeller, the atmosphere had already poisoned him. He'd be choking on his own blood, his skin bubbling with pustules. The gunfire continued. Other voices shouted on comms. Bugs exploded in the air along the outer rim of the plateau. The brighter the burning air, the easier it was to spot them, to kill them before they came closer. Malenka backed away from Zeller's weakening struggle against the thing that had killed them. They were wrapped together, the Marine and the black glass kite. When Malenka reached her, Dietrich saw the shock in the girl's eyes and knew that no matter how tough she had been in training, she understood combat now. Understood horror. Understood what it meant to be a colonial Marine. Dietrich sheathed her knife, raised her plasma rifle, and fired 3 rounds into the thing that was killing Zeller. The explosion incinerated Zeller on the spot and knocked Dietrich and Malenka off their feet. They hit the ground, rolling on the superheated rocky soil. Blinking, Dietrich realized she'd been out for a few seconds. She looked up to see Malenka above her, shouting at her to get up. Then Hudson and Vasquez were there, cursing at her. When she reached out to Hudson, she saw the fear in his eyes. Fear for her. But it was Vasquez who grabbed her hand, hauled her off the ground, gave her a shove to get her running. Lieutenant Paulson had ordered a retreat. Dietrich could hear Apone's familiar growl over the comms, urging them onward. She had lost track of her position, so she could only rely on the others as they hustled back to the dropship, their withdrawal punctuated by a dozen more explosions that heated the air so much the air inside her suit burned to breathe. Then they were at the dropship. Khan had lowered the ramp, and Dietrich stumbled a bit going up. She dropped to the floor inside, surrounded by the others, and as the ramp began to close and she stared out at the burning storm, she wondered about the ghosts of Stenbeck and Zeller. The dropship's external guns shot a couple of the kites to keep them away from the closing ramp, and then it was over. Over. She remembered Stenbeck's hands on her skin last night, the taste of whiskey on his lips, and the way she'd broken his heart. The morning's nausea returned, but she held it together.
"Anyone want to explain that?" Vasquez snapped, stripping out of her exosuit. "How the hell do those things just explode? The whole sky went up in flames."
The pilot, Khan, craned his neck around to look back at them all as they tore out of their suits and stowed their weapons, checking themselves and each other for injuries.
"Just proved the company's science team right," Khan said. "Species is carbon-based, like most known life forms, but the solvent for all life from Earth is water. For these aliens, it's propane."
Dietrich lay on her back, still in her exosuit, trying to find the will to get up. Hudson laughed.
"Oh, that's beautiful. They knew the things were gonna go boom if we shoot them and they send us out there anyway?" "They knew there was a chance," the pilot admitted. "Khan, get us off this fucking rock," Apone grumbled as he slumped onto the starboard bench, already starting to strap himself in. "Sorry, Sarge. Can't do that."
Dietrich had been catching her breath, knowing she'd have to get up in a few seconds to strap herself in for dust off. Now she rolled over and sat on her knees, glaring toward the front of the ship. Around her, the rest of the unit had stopped their bitching, stopped stowing their weapons, stopped grieving for the ones they'd left behind.
"What the hell are you talking about, Corporal?"
Apone snapped, emphasizing Khan's rank, reminding the pilot of the chain of command. But Khan wasn't looking at Apone. His gaze locked onto Lieutenant Paulson instead. They all turned to stare at her.
"You want to explain this, Lieutenant?" Apone asked.
Dietrich listened to the thump and scuff of kites attacking the hull, but her eyes were on Paulson. On the way, the woman seemed to deflate with regret.
"Corporal Khan," Paulson said, "I assume by your reaction that you've gotten readings from the dropship's external instruments. You've located the source of the stabilizing element."
If you'd taken a poll of the unit, pretty much everyone would have voted for Hicks as the most even-keeled of the lot. But it wasn't Spunkmeyer or Wurzbowski or even Vasquez who smashed a hand against the hull and glowered at the lieutenant.
"What the hell is this?" Hicks snapped. "Not only did you have intel about the bugs that could have saved Stenbeck and Zeller, but now you're saying you and Khan have been keeping this other shit from us too?"
Lieutenant Paulson squared up to him. "You're going to want to stand down, Corporal Hicks." Dietrich forced herself to stand, reached out for Hicks's shoulder, said his name. He shook her off, kept glaring. Apone stepped between Hicks and Paulson.
"Stand down, Corporal,"
the Sarge said, but then he turned to face the lieutenant.
"Maybe you want to explain yourself. If there were mission parameters you couldn't share before, I'd like to hear them now."
Lieutenant Paulson at least had the decency to look uncomfortable. She nodded slowly, glanced at Khan, and then backed off, obviously aware of the animosity growing against her. "We had an additional set of orders," Paulson said. "You all know how this works. Every mission has multiple objectives. Objective one was to clear the plateau and pave the way for the next science team to drop a temporary base there. Objective two was to see if the instruments could scan and locate the source of the stabilizing element. Based on information transmitted back by the last group who died here, the company had some theories."
"That's what I started to say, Lieutenant," Khan interrupted. "They're not theories anymore."
Dietrich simmered with anger. Rage helped to make her forget her grief, at least for a minute. She stared at Khan and Paulson, silently blaming them for the deaths of Stenbeck and Zeller, knowing it wasn't really their fault. The company was to blame. Weyland fucking Yutani. She could feel what was coming. Not the detail their pilot was about to reveal, but what it would mean for all of them. What it would cost them.
"Spill it already," she said.
Khan glanced at Paulson. The lieutenant nodded, giving silent permission for him to speak. Khan scanned the back of the dropship, taking in the rest of the unit with a glance.
"The element the company's looking for," Khan said. "The bugs produce it. Just like we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, they breathe in whatever the shit in this atmosphere is, and they exhale the gas we're looking for. Without it, the whole sky would ignite."
Dietrich massaged her temple, trying to process that.
"So if we killed enough of them, we'd destabilize the atmosphere," Apone finished for her. "Maybe blow up the planet. Shit."
"But now we don't want to kill them," Dietrich said, glancing around at the others. At Hicks, Hudson, Malenka, Vasquez, and the rest. She saw it dawning on their faces even as she worked it out. Dietrich swore under her breath and started checking the seals on her exosuit. She reached for her helmet.
"I don't get it," Wurzbowski said. "That's why we're here, to kill him."
He'd never been very bright.
"Not anymore,"
Vasquez sneered, glaring at Paulson and Khan as she reached for the exosuit she'd already removed. "The job's changed, Wurzbowski," Dietrich said, sharing a worried glance with Hicks. "We're not supposed to kill them anymore.
Turns out these things are the goddamn prize we came looking for. Now the job is to catch one. The sick expression on Wurzbowski's face reflected the twist in the pit of her stomach. In silence, the rest of the unit exchanged scowls and then began dragging their exosuits back on, reaching for their weapons. Malenka grinned, visibly excited at the prospect. And that was when Dietrich knew she wanted to stay far away from the girl. That excitement would make her reckless. The scraping on the hull continued. The bugs were out there waiting, almost as if they knew the dropship wasn't going anywhere. All right, Marines, Sergeant Apone growled as he walked toward the rear of the ship, waiting for Khan to lower the ramp. Let's get it done. Watch each other's backs and try not to die. Vasquez and Hudson high-fived each other, even in the exosuits, trying to amp themselves up. As Khan hit the controls and the lights started to flash, indicating that the ramp was opening, they all gripped their weapons tighter and watched the gap for those thin fingers, those sharp black glass edges. Air vented out of the ship and the whole unit started forward. Try not to die, Apone had said. Dietrich intended to try her best.
Exterminators, by Matt Forbeck. Corporal Cynthia Dietrich and Private First Class Rico Frost stumbled into the Last Chance like drunken rhinos, shaking off the hot rain as if they'd just emerged from a boiling river. Almost every other head in the main room of the Backwater Saloon, all four of them, spun to glare at the two Marines with undisguised disgust. The grizzled bartender, who looked like he might have come with the ancient prefab place when it was new, was the only exception. Fuck, Frost said as he wiped off his face. It's hotter than hell out there. What'll it be, ladies? The bartender said, splaying both hands on the rough surface of the chipboard bar before him. Frost squinted at the man, trying to make out his face in the darkened place, lit only by flickering ad signs for liquor and beer and a guttering gas lamp. After a moment, he decided who the barkeep was didn't matter. He didn't know him. Hell, he and Dietrich didn't know anyone on this entire soaking wet ball of shit. Tequila, Dietrich barked out with a grin. All of it. The pair held on to each other for support as they made their way to the bar and planted themselves on top of a couple of rickety stools. The bartender produced a couple plastic shot glasses and filled them with a clear liquid from a labelless bottle. Frost wrinkled his nose at it. He couldn't say if it was tequila or not, but at this point, he didn't think it mattered much. Whatever its name, it was potent enough to do the trick. He plucked up one of the giant plastic thimbles and Dietrich did the same. They tapped their shot glasses together and then slammed back the contents in one go. Both Marines howled as the liquor burned its way down their throats, then collapsed against each other, laughing. They slapped their empty shot glasses down on the bar, still chuckling. Frost finally glanced about to see who they were sharing the bar with, and he saw only grim faces staring back at them. He tapped Dietrich on the shoulder and gestured toward the others with his chin. Well, what the hell's wrong with you people? Dietrich said, still smiling. You two ought to get the hell out of here, a black man with graying hair and beard said with a snarl. What? Frost said, determined not to let the man bring him or Dietrich down. But we just got here. We've been trapped on a slow transport from the Outer Rim for the past 6 months, and we have a shitload of accumulated steam to blow off. Let 'em be, Jesse, a fat, bald white man cradling his hand in his lap and sitting next to the black man said. It's already too late. You don't know that, Tim, the black man said. They're young, fit, soldiers. They start running right now, they might still have a chance. Frost glanced at Dietrich. Neither one of them liked how these men were talking. They'd run into some real jackasses in bars before, but they hadn't been expecting any trouble here. Sullivan 9 was a remote refueling station with damn little to offer anyone but a steady supply of fuel. Oxygen, hydrogen, even propane and wood, and a drink or three to warm visitors on their way. And they hadn't even been able to find that in the main building where they'd left the rest of their platoon. They'd had to bribe one of the station attendants for the directions to this place so they could slip away to it. She hadn't wanted to give it up to them, but Dietrich was a heavy tipper. "Long as there's still drink here, we're not going anywhere," Dietrich said, her voice loud enough to make sure everyone in the room heard it. "Or until the captain comes looking for us," Frost said with a chortle. He looked at the bartender and gave his shot glass a meaningful tap. The bartender filled it up and did the same for Dietrich. "Come on, Birdo," Jesse said. "They don't need to die here with the rest of us." "Ain't no one dying here today," the bartender said. He left the bottle there in front of them and sneered at Jesse. "Either way, I'm doing my job. You ought to try to do the same." "Fuck the job," Jesse said. "They don't pay any of us enough for shit like this." "You want to leave?" Birdo said. "There's the door." Jesse eyed the exit, but instead of making a move for it, he took a slug of his beer and wiped his mouth on his grimy sleeve. "We'd never make it."
"What the hell are you gas gulpers going on about?" Dietrich said. "You're creeping me out."
Birdo hemmed and hawed for a moment. "You shouldn't have come here. It's not safe." Frost had never been one to let anyone intimidate him, and he wasn't about to let some backwater bartender manage it now. He slapped his hand on the table to get the man's attention, gave him his best, "You'd better not be threatening me" glare, and spat one word at him. "Why?" Birdo couldn't meet Frost's eyes. He just grimaced at Tim and Jesse and said, "Show them." The two men pushed their chairs to the side and stood up. At the far side of the table behind them sat another man, face down. He had been so quiet the entire time that Frost had assumed he was just a passed-out drunk, as the Marines soon hoped to be. Tim reached over and grabbed the man's cap by its bill and pushed his limp form back into a sitting position. The man's head lolled back, and his button-down shirt fell open, revealing what looked like an armored jacket underneath. Dietrich stared at the man while Frost coughed a harsh laugh at Birdo. "You trying to tell us this piss you've been slinging at us isn't safe to drink?" The bartender shook his head.
"Take a good look at him. He ain't drunk."
"Holy shit," Dietrich whispered. "What the fuck happened to him?"
Frost had rarely heard Dietrich sound so serious, and it stopped him cold in the middle of concocting a snarky retort for Birdo. He got up from his stool instead and took a few cautious steps toward the quiet man. He was an Asian man with wide reddish cheeks and streaks of gray slicing through his shock of hair. His face had fallen slack, and a layer of sweat covered his skin. His eyes sat open, but the irises had rolled back up into his head.
"Is he dead?"
Jesse shook his head.
"Not yet, anyway."
Frost crept closer. There was something odd about the armor the man wore on his chest. He'd never seen anything like it before. It looked hard, chitinous even, but it didn't cover his entire chest, just the front of his undershirt. He didn't see how the thin straps coming out on six sides of the armor could keep it attached to the man's chest. They didn't go all that far. Then he gasped. The armor didn't have straps. It had legs. Frost stepped back toward the bar and tapped his empty shot glass. Birdo filled it all the way to the rim and did the same for Dietrich, too. Frost slammed back his shot, and Birdo refilled it without being asked.
"What is that thing?"
Frost asked. Tim shook his head.
"We don't know. Park here staggered outside after having his regular nightcap and just started screaming. We came out to help him, and we found him like this."
"What the fuck?" Dietrich said. "Why'd you bring him back here, then, instead of to the main station? They got an infirmary there, right?"
Tim pointed at the thing on Park's chest.
"There were more of these things out there in the dark. Don't know how many, but enough we didn't want to try to carry him through it."
Frost groaned. And you couldn't just have called for help? Birdo snorted. This look like a legal place to you? You think we got comm lines installed? Jesse shook his head with regret. Shocks me every day that Wayland Yutani hasn't shut us down yet.
Well, you can't just leave him like that, Dietrich said. Get it off him!
Tim held up the hand he'd been favoring. The fingers on it were as red as if the skin had started to melt off them. Tried that, he said. Didn't go so well. Frost could now recognize the strain in the man's voice. It hadn't been from having intruders in the bar, but from the agonizing pain he'd been trying to hide. I tried to pull it off with my bare hands, and it set Park screeching like a gutted monkey. Figured that meant I was doing something right, so I dug my fingers in around that thing's edge and pulled. It used some kind of acid to glue itself to Park's chest, Jesse said. Shit spurred out with a gout of Park's blood and did that to Tim's hand.
And you didn't go run for help? Dietrich said, agog. Are you fucking insane?
Tim slumped back down in his chair. We didn't get 10 meters before those things cut us off. We ran right back here. That was 3 hours ago. We've been trying to figure out what to do ever since. And then we walked in, Frost said with a low groan. And now you're stuck here with us, Jesse said.
I didn't see anything out there while we were running through the rain, Dietrich said. Maybe those things are gone now.
Frost strode toward the door and hauled it open on its squeaky hinges. The rain still pounded down out of the night sky, warm as blood. He squinted into the blackness, unable to see much but the lights of the refueling station in the distance. Their ship sat somewhere beyond it, entirely out of sight. It wasn't that long of a walk to the station, he knew, but it seemed light years away. The captain, Frost suspected, wouldn't come looking for them until morning. Hell, up until now, he'd been relying on it. I got a bad feeling about this.
You always say that. Dietrich pushed past his shoulder. See anything?
Frost shook his head. The light that hung over the bar's door only illuminated the ground beneath it and the massive propane tank out front that powered the bar. The rest of the area stood shrouded in soaking wet darkness. Lightning flashed, and Frost spotted something rustling along the open rocky landscape, just out of range of the bar's outside light. At first he thought it might be leaves, something like giant palm fronds rustling in the wind, but despite the rain the air remained still. There, he pointed it out to Dietrich. What's that? Dietrich leaned forward to peer into the darkness. Thunder rumbled. Close. Lightning flashed again, and this time Frost got a better look at them. They weren't leaves. They were large insects. Lots of them, swarming over each other. Frost pulled a small flashlight out of his pocket and pointed it toward the things he'd seen. Its bright light lanced through the darkness and caught the pile of bugs in its beam. They scattered from the brightness, looking for someplace dark to hide. Some of them just ran away, while others disappeared into fissures in the ground. In an instant, they were gone. Dietrich leaped backward, her hand over her mouth to stifle a scream, and Frost slammed shut the door. They're just bugs, Frost said as he held Dietrich's shoulders to help calm her. It's no big deal. That's what Park thought, Jesse said. Now look at him. Frost refused to. He turned to Berto instead. It's safe in here, right? He said. We can just wait them out. Someone will come looking for us eventually.
Maybe, Tim said. As long as those things out there don't get them, too.
You got a better plan?
Frost wished he and Dietrich had brought their weapons with them. It was one thing to sneak out of the ship to go on a bender, though, and something far worse to do it while fully armed. They'd left everything they'd had back in ship. Tim just stared at the floor. Jesse shrugged at the Marines.
Not like we had anything better to do. That's why we were here in the first place.
Right,
Frost motioned to Birdo. I'd like to buy a round for the house. The bartender waved Frost off, but he put the bottle of supposed tequila out on the bar anyhow.
Forget it, he said. We're past worrying about payment at this point.
Very kind of you, Dietrich said as she reached for the bottle. While she topped off the two shot glasses on the bar, Birdo produced four more, and she filled them too. Frost picked up two of the shot glasses and brought them over to Jesse and Tim. Despite the fear his hands might start shaking, he didn't spill a single drop. Birdo knocked back one of the remaining shots himself and then gazed at the other.
Who's that for?
Dietrich said. Birdo nodded toward Park.
He ain't dead yet.
Frost came back to the bar and scooped up the extra shot. He walked it over to the unconscious man and set it on the table in front of him.
I don't think he's in the drinking mood.
Maybe, Tim said as he picked up the shot. But you never know until you try.
Using his good hand, Tim waved the shot under Park's nose, letting the pungent odor of the crude alcohol waft up out of the glass at him.
Come on, pal, he said. You know you want it.
To everyone's surprise, Park's entire body twitched. Tim leaped back, spilled the shot all over Park.
Shit, he said. Son of a bitch.
Park's head moved now, and his eyes rolled forward. He gazed out at the others, struggling to focus on them. Jesse patted Park on the shoulder.
It's all right, man, he said in an even, steady voice. We got you back inside.
Park tried to sit up straight, but the shell on his chest stopped him. He looked down at it, confused and unable to comprehend it. He opened his mouth to complain about it, but nothing came out.
We're stuck in here, Jesse told Park. We want to get you to a doctor, but I think we're going to have to wait until daybreak.
Park tried to speak again, but failed. His face contorted in frustration, and tears welled up in his eyes. Frost wanted to go talk with him, but with the state Park was in, Frost didn't know how the man would react to a stranger approaching him. And if he was honest with himself, the thing on the man's chest terrified him. Tim stood next to Park and tried to comfort him.
It's gonna be all right, he said.
Frost suspected no one in the room believed him. Park reached out and squeezed Tim's good hand. The human contact calmed him, and he took a deep breath to steady himself. For a moment, he seemed like he might be all right. Then Park began to cough. It started out low at first, as if the man was only clearing his throat. Jesse reached around and patted him on his back. Soon, though, Park's distress became worse, developing into a hacking cough. It seemed to become more and more painful every time he flinched forward, hunching over the shell of the creature still attached to his chest.
We need to get him to a doctor, Frost said. Now. You gonna try to move him like this? Tim said.
Then we need to go get a doctor, Dietrich said as she stepped toward the door. Frost followed her.
What about those things out there?
Dietrich shrugged. We don't know how fast they are, right? We just run flat out for the station and maybe they don't catch us.
In that downpour? Birdo said. What if you slip? They'll be on you in a heartbeat.
Frost decided that didn't matter. If this was their only shot, they had to take it. They couldn't just let Park die. He threw the door open and put an arm around Dietrich.
Ready?
Dietrich nodded, and the pair steeled themselves for their mad dash up a rocky path in a hot, thick rain. They'd done things like this before, on planets so far away from there, sometimes with bullets zipping past them. Frost told himself this had to be easier, safer even.
Right?
Before they could take their first step outside, though, Park threw back his head and screamed. Dietrich spun away from the door and Frost followed suit, slamming it closed. In the far corner of the bar, Park sat in his chair, his back arched as if someone had stabbed him. Jesse sat on one side of him, Tim on the other, both staring at their friend, helpless.
What's happening?
Dietrich said, her voice rising in panic. No one answered. Park stopped screaming and began to buck up and down in his chair, as if he was being electrocuted.
"Stop him," Birdo said to Tim and Jesse. "Grab him and stop him before he hurts himself."
The two men did as ordered, each taking Park by one arm. It was all they could do to keep the man from flinging himself to the floor. After a long moment, Park stopped contorting and slumped back down in his chair. Park looked to his friends, as if he meant to thank them, but instead of words, blood began to pour from his mouth.
"Dear God," Tim said. Despite the man's terror, both he and Jesse kept hold of Park. Frost couldn't tell if they intended to or were just so shocked they'd forgotten they had the option of letting go.
Park began to gurgle then, a horrible sound that burbled up through the blood. He leaned over the table, the crimson fluid spilling from his mouth as his stomach heaved harder and harder. Nothing but the blood came out, at least at first. The heaves didn't stop, though. They kept coming, harder and faster, until Frost was surprised the man's stomach hadn't erupted from his mouth. Park lurched forward so hard, he would have crashed his face into the table if his friends hadn't been holding him back. As he did, something dark and slimy began to pour from his mouth, muffling his agonized gurgling. Frost took an involuntary step back. When he saw Dietrich remained frozen in fright, he reached forward and pulled her to stand at his side.
"Oh, shit," Birdo said. "Shit, shit, 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 shit."
Park continued to vomit, heaving forward over and over again. Every time he did, more things spilled from his face, so many that Frost wondered where they could have all possibly come from. The pile they formed spread slowly across the table, covering it, some of them spilling onto the floor. Frost had seen many strange things in his life, but he'd never felt so disgusted. And then the things Park had vomited began to move. Frost hated himself for it, but he let out a little squeal of disgust. It wasn't any louder than Tim's, though, and not nearly so long. Jesse and Tim let go of Park, leaped out of their chairs, and staggered away in shock. As they did, Park flung himself backward with one final convulsion. His chair toppled over and cracked from the impact. The things on the table continued to crawl off it in a slimy cataract that spilled onto the floor. From there, the fist-sized creatures scuttled in every direction. Some of them headed straight for Frost and Dietrich. Dietrich grabbed Frost's arm and pulled him toward the door. "We gotta go," she said. "We gotta run." "Wait." Frost yanked free from Dietrich's grasp and pulled out his flashlight again. He shined the beam at the creatures and instantly recognized them for what they were. "Those are the same things we saw outside." The insects scattered at the touch of the light, scurrying away from the beam as fast as their little legs would take them. Some of them started crawling up Tim and Jesse, working their way up their pants. The men began howling and stomping about in stark terror. Frost played the beam over the men, moving it from one to the other. At the same time, he tried to keep an eye on the strays coming his way, emboldened by the fact the light no longer touched them instead. "It's too much," Frost said. "I can't stop them all." Over and over again, he flicked the light from Tim to Jesse and back to the floor between him and the insects. He could never keep the beam in one place long enough to really drive the creatures away. If he kept it focused in any one spot for too long, the bugs surged forward everywhere else. Frost wanted to save Tim and Jesse, who had resorted to brushing the insects off themselves with their bare hands. Where the creatures touched their bare skin, they left burns, and the men yelped about them in pain and terror.
"Lights!" Dietrich shouted at Birdo. "We need lights!"
The bartender reached under the bar and twisted something with a loud squeak. The guttering gaslight that hung in the middle of the ceiling and had barely provided any illumination or warmth burst into fully fueled brightness. The bugs fled. Many of them leapt from Jesse and Tim, and in mid-air, they spread their wings from beneath their shells and took flight, clicking and clattering as they went.
"They can fly?" Dietrich said. "Not fair."
"Just huddle here under the light," Frost said, as much to Dietrich as everyone else in the bar. "They won't touch us here." Jesse and Tim made their way there, spinning about as they did, making sure the creatures couldn't hide in their shadows. They knocked a few of the insects toward the others, but Frost scared them away with his flashlight.
Within moments, the four of them stood safe under the hissing gaslight.
Ow, Jesse said. That fucking hurt.
He and Tim were covered with red welts where the alien creatures had attacked them. Frost couldn't tell if they were bites, stings, or something else, but each of the wounds was about the size of a pool ball and looked painfully red and raw. Jesse had taken one over his right eye and was holding a hand over it. Blood trickled between his fingers.
I think they're gone, Dietrich said.
For now, said Tim. Little fuckers. What about Park? Jesse said. We should check on him.
He's dead already, Dietrich said. Forget him.
Together they stared at the table that now stood between them and where Park had fallen.
We can't just leave him like that, Tim said. It ain't right.
Neither is having a swarm of cockroaches come flying out of your face, Dietrich said. Nothing about this is right.
Give me that flashlight, Tim put his hand out toward Frost. If you're all too scared, I'll go take a look.
Frost stared at Tim's empty hand.
He knew one thing. As scared as he was of these creatures, the bugs, he wasn't going to give up the one thing he had he knew worked against them. No matter what.
Forget it, he said. I'll go.
We'll all go, Dietrich said.
We just need to move that table out of the way, Jesse said.
He took his hand away from his eye. It had swollen shut tight.
Right, Frost said. Any volunteers?
Jesse didn't say a word. He just darted forward and pushed the table to one side, hard and fast. As he did, a few more insects fluttered out from underneath it. So he turned the damn thing over, exposing its underside to the light. A dozen more insects fled for the darkness. This time, Frost followed them with the flashlight's beam to see where they went. They made their way toward the walls and disappeared by slipping into the cracks near the floor, squeezing through spaces that seemed impossibly thin.
"Bring that light over here," Jesse said as he creeped toward Parks's corpse.
Frost angled off to the side and shined his light past Jesse. What he saw made him swallow hard to keep down his liquor. The creature that had been attached to Park's chest had fallen off. It lay to one side of him. Nothing left of it now but an empty shell that gleamed in the light. Park's torso below where the shell had been attached sat splayed open, as if something had flayed all the flesh off it, exposing the bones and organs beneath. Dietrich turned aside and threw up on the floor.
They goddamn ate him from the inside, Birdo said.
Looking closer, Frost saw that the bartender was right. Most of Park's intestines were missing, and the bottom had been torn out of his stomach.
We gotta get out of here,
Dietrich said after spluttering the foul taste from her mouth. We can't stay.
What, with all those things out there? Birdo said. How are we gonna get past them?
Maybe they ran off already, Frost said.
He turned toward the door, happy to have any excuse to pull himself away from looking at Parks's corpse for another second.
We can at least check.
Frost held the flashlight in front of him and pulled the door open with his free hand. He shined his beam outside, right into the area beyond the pool of light around the door. There were more of the bugs out there than ever before. Most of them were smaller, like the ones that had come out of Park. But there seemed to be many more of them than could have come from the man. Several larger ones scuttled among them, moving like giants among toddlers.
They've cut off the path, Frost said. There's no way to get through them.
We have to try, don't we? Dietrich said. So we stomp on a few alien insects on our way. Good for us.
Did you see how fast those fuckers can fly? Jesse said. There's no way you can outrun them.
We don't have a choice, Tim shouted as he came up behind the others. We need more lights, Frost said. Do you have any more flashlights around here?
Birdo gave him a grim shake of his head.
What else can we use? Got a lighter? Matches?
Birdo reached behind the bar and pulled out a large box of safety matches.
Sometimes the pilot light goes out and I have to relight it.
Those won't make it through the rain, Jesse said.
And they don't make enough light anyhow, Tim said.
No, but we can use them to light torches, right?
Birdo barked a high-pitched, nervous laugh.
I'm fresh out of those.
But we can make torches. Frost glanced around the room. Bust up a chair or table and use the legs. Wrap the end in a bar rag soaked in that shit you call tequila.
Dietrich frowned.
How long you think that'll last?
Longer than a fucking match, at least.
But how long is it going to take us to make enough torches?
Tim said.
What?
Frost said. Are you going anywhere until we do?
Tim gave him a shrug of his shoulders that said, fair enough. It was then that the gaslight went out. Worse than that, though, was the scritching sound that began coming from every corner of the bar as the insects began to work their way back inside. Frost wasn't sure who screamed the loudest. It might have been him, but he was the first to come to his senses.
They must have chewed through the gas line, Frost said.
They're bugs, said Birdo. How can they be smart enough to do that?
Frost didn't care to argue the point. The evidence was in his favor. He flicked his flashlight back on, and in its light he grabbed the bottle of tequila off the bar. As fast as he could, he poured the liquor out on the floor in a wide circle around Dietrich, Tim, Jesse, and himself. It was then that Birdo, who was still standing behind the bar, started to scream. This time not simply in terror, but also in pain.
Quick, Frost said to Dietrich. Light me one of those matches.
He wanted to turn the light on Birdo and help him out, but he couldn't. Not yet. If he did, he'd be condemning the rest of them to a painful death. He just hoped the bartender could hold out just a little longer. Dietrich struck the match against the side of the box, and it burst into flame. Her hands were shaking so badly, though, she dropped it. It went out as it hit the floor. She grabbed another, spilling several of the rest of the matches on the floor. Cursing, she ignored them and struck the second match. This one she managed to hold on to, and she touched it to the booze Frost had spilled about the place. A blazing ring of fire burst up around them. The alien insects that had already started crowding around them skittered away from the heat and light. Some of them had been standing in the alcohol when it went up and had been set on fire. They squealed and hissed as they baked inside their shells. A few of the critters had made it inside the circle, too, but Jesse and Tim kicked them back over the line. Frost turned the flashlight back toward Birdo, but he wasn't there. The flickering light from the few beer signs in the bar didn't give much in the way of illumination, certainly not enough to frighten off the creatures, but Frost was sure Birdo hadn't run past them somehow. He had to still be there with them. Frost splashed some of the tequila on the bar and used it to make a line back to the ring of fire. It ignited, and the fire followed the line backward to the top of the bar. Birdo leaped up from behind the bar, desperate to immerse himself in the light. The creatures covered every inch of him that Frost could see, biting his flesh, trying to crawl into his mouth. He fell into the pool of burning tequila and embraced the bar like a drowning man grasping a life preserver. The insects on the upper part of his body fled, but they didn't go far. They just moved down his body, out of the fire, out of the light. With the creatures now away from his face, Birdo opened his mouth and let out a horrifying howl of agony. His shirt had already caught on fire, but he did nothing to extinguish it. Instead, he crawled up onto the bar and immolated himself in the blaze. The smell of burning flesh filled the air, and Frost gagged at the sickly scent.
"We have to save him," Jesse said.
"How?" Tim said. "It's too late for him. What about us?"
"Fuck you and fuck this."
Jesse stormed forward and tried to grab Birdo by his shoulders. The flames proved too hot for him to handle, though, and he fell back, his fingers already blistering.
"Shit," he said. "Shit."
Birdo had already stopped screaming. As the others watched, his body, no longer grasping at the edge of the bar, slipped backward and tumbled out of sight. Jesse made to go after Birdo once again, but Frost grabbed him by the back of his shirt to stop him.
"Forget it," he said. "He's gone."
For an instant, Frost wondered if Jesse would cold cock him right then and there and go after Birdo. The man seemed to realize the pointlessness of it, though, and his shoulders sagged in defeat. The chipboard surface of the bar had caught fire by now,
and the flames began to spread.
"Well, that'll drive the bugs out," Tim said.
"And us along with it," said Dietrich. "We need to get out of here."
"Goddamn right," Frost said. "If those things chewed through the gas line, you know what that means?" "Shit," said Jesse. "It's leaking. If it reaches that fire or the other way around, we're done for."
"We're done for out there, too," Tim said. "There's no way we can make it to the station from here."
"Speak for yourself," Dietrich said. "We don't have to outrun those things, old man. We just have to outrun you."
"Fuck you."
"You go fuck whatever you want," Dietrich said. "This whole place could blow up any second. We're leaving. Come with us or die in a fire here. Your choice."
"She's right," Jesse said. "We need to go. Now."
"What about torches?" Tim said.
"We don't have time to make them," Dietrich said. "We run for the door, smash through it, and keep running until we find the lights of the station or die trying."
Tim groaned, but Jesse put a stop to that.
"Can you come up with a better plan in the next 5 seconds? No? Then let's go."
Tim glared at Jesse for a full 3 seconds before he nodded his assent. "All right." Frost hefted his flashlight in one hand and the still half-full bottle of tequila in the other. "On three." "One." Tim bolted for the door. Shocked, Frost and Dietrich watched him go. Jesse recovered first and chased after his friend. As the two locals reached the door, Dietrich pushed Frost from behind, and the two Marines started after them.
"Hey!"
Tim and Jesse ignored Dietrich's protest and slipped out the door. Frost charged through it himself, and someone, he couldn't tell who, punched him in the side of the head as he emerged into the hot rain. Frost fell forward, skidding into the steaming mud on his chest. As he hit the ground, he could smell the telltale scent of propane wafting around him, combined with the taste of failure. His flashlight tumbled out of his hand, the light flipping between earth and sky until it landed several feet away. Frost could see Jesse's face by the beam of the flashlight as he scooped it up.
"Sorry," the man said in a heartfelt way. Then he charged off toward the station without a moment's more hesitation, racing along in Tim's footprints.
Frost felt someone's hand on his shoulder and spun about, ready for a fight. It was Dietrich, though, who hadn't abandoned him.
"Are you all right?" she said. "We gotta move."
As Frost scrambled to his feet, he watched his flashlight's beam shrink smaller and smaller by the second.
"We're never going to catch them. We have to try," Dietrich said.
As the words left her mouth, though, a man, Jesse, maybe, shouted out in the night. Another voice joined him soon after. A moment later, the flashlight's shrunken beam tumbled to the ground and went out.
"Oh, shit," Dietrich said through her hand as she stared into the darkness. "We are so, so fucked."
Frost winced in a shaken cocktail of shame and pain. He'd let those men trick him, and now he and Dietrich would pay for it with their lives.
"Wait," Dietrich said. "I still have those matches. Do you have the tequila?"
Frost held up the bottle. By some miracle, he'd managed to keep hold of it as he fell, and he'd barely lost a drop of it.
"What good's that going to do?"
Dietrich didn't respond. Instead, she produced the matchbox and fished a fresh match from it. Then she set to lighting it. The first attempt failed, as did the second. Frost could hear the crawling little aliens out there, chittering in the rain. Were they talking with each other? Coordinating their plan of attack? He couldn't tell. He just knew the men were still screaming. It would only be a matter of time before the bugs finished the locals off, though, and came crawling after the Marines. Dietrich huddled in close to Frost, and they covered the matchbox with their heads. This time, the match flared to glaring life. Dietrich took the match and dropped it into the bottle of tequila. The liquor erupted into a blue flame that licked its way up and out of the bottle.
"What the hell good is that?" Frost said.
"Throw it at the tank," Dietrich said.
Frost goggled at her.
"There's a leak near the tank," he said. "I can smell it."
"So can I."
"This could blow it all up."
Dietrich reached out and took Frost by the hand.
Beats being eaten by those little bastards, doesn't it?
Frost stared at the tank sitting there in front of the bar. Then he glanced back toward where he'd seen the locals